Well, happy Mother's Day. All the mothers, raise your hand. Let me see. All right. Awesome. Thank you, thank you. Some of y'all know I had the pleasure of going and seeing my mom and all that stuff. And, well, my brother had called me a few days ago, told me that she was in a hospital. And she's like me. She don't like hospitals. She doesn't want to stay there long or anything like that. So they were running some stress tests for her and everything. So she just believe it's just indigestion. I haven't been eating right and stuff. So it's just indigestion. Well, they came back with the news. She called me this morning and said, hey, it was just indigestion. She's doing well. She is doing good. I said, hey, that's get up and dance if you need to. But she's doing good, so I'm happy because of that. So if you got your Bibles, this is part three on the road to demask us. If you didn't get the little pun there. Romans 8:35 says this: can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything? No, we know that answer, right? It says, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and that scripture right there should bring us a lot of comfort right there. That doesn't mean it says it separates our love for him, but it doesn't separate his love for us. Nothing can separate. We can fall out of love, but God doesn't. His love is everlasting. It's from the beginning to the end. The only thing that can separate you is you denying your faith in Jesus. It's the only thing. The love that Paul is referring to is love for us, not our love for him. His love never fails. It's everlasting. Jesus loved us. Love for us can overcome any obstacle that we may face, and it surpasses all knowledge and understanding. And after reading this scripture, you will never have to ask yourself again, does God really love me? No matter what you're facing, no matter what kind of problems you may have within your marriage, within your family, within your friendship, relationships, on your job, you don't ever have to ask that question whether God loves you or not. Nothing can separate you from his love. And it says, verse 36, it says, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Some other people may read the versions of, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. With God's love, it's not just barely getting the win. You didn't just barely squeak by in life. It's not just barely getting by. After every problem or calamity that we may face, it says overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. That's something to shout about. I thought I would hear a yee-haw or something.
Amen.
Amen, so be it. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Not through ourselves, but through Jesus, the champion who initiates our perfect and perfects our faith. You can't have overcoming or overwhelming victory or be more than a conqueror without going through a battle. Oh, I just win. You're going to have to go through something. What have you conquered? If you haven't gone through anything, and I believe everybody has gone through something as long as you're here on this earth, you have gone through something and you're still here. That's something to shout about. That's something to get excited about. You have overwhelming victory. Faith in God, faith in his love, faith in his word. And the fight that we fight is the good fight of faith. Faith in God, faith in his word. Faith in Jesus. There isn't a day that we go by that we don't use faith. If you haven't been listening, if you haven't been reading, read about faith. Learn about faith. You're going to have to live by this thing. You're going to have to learn to manage it. Because his faith is the currency in the kingdom of God. Just like you're going to have to manage your money, you're going to have to manage how to use your faith. Jesus did all the fighting for us, and all we have to do is just receive what he has freely given us by faith. That's truly being more than a conqueror. Distractions will keep you away from what you were freely given and get you focusing more on the problem rather than the answer, which is Jesus. Christ is the answer. For every problem that you may have in life, he is the answer, and he has the answer for you. In 1 John 5, it says this. 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Notice it says everyone who believes, not everyone who is good in their own eyes. Not everyone who has parents that know Jesus and are going off of their faith. It's everyone who believes. You got to believe for yourself. You can't believe for your children. You got to believe for yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't share your faith with your children, but you got to believe for yourself. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. If everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, they are a child of God and are brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 2 says, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. God's children is not based on ethnicity. It's not based on the color of your skin. It's not based on your denomination. Well, we're the Lutherans. We're the non-denominational. We're the First Baptists. By God, we're first. Well, we're Southern. Well, we're the Mennonite. It's found in Jesus. We're missing what God is trying to tell us. It's not a white or black thing. It's the true word of God is being preached or taught. It shouldn't matter what a person looks like. If the true word of God is being taught, it should not matter what a person looks like. If the true word of God is being taught, it should not matter what a person looks like, what their denomination is or what have you. It's the word of God being preached and taught. A few years ago in 2020, when the date 2020 is mentioned, what do you guys think of? Let's change that up. You know, back in the day, I wouldn't say I'm a history buff. I'm sorry to hear that. Did he know Jesus? Oh, he's better off than we are. Amen. That's good. But I kind of like history and stuff. I like reading some of the articles and things of that nature, but I do remember reading somewhere where it would say from some of our founding leaders, fathers or what have you, in the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And they give that date. 2020 isn't COVID. 2020 was during the reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. He's the high priest. He is the Son of God. 2020 wasn't about COVID. It was all about Jesus, and it will always still be about Jesus. But I had done this interview with a pastor, friend of mine, and he was wanting to know how to bridge the gap between white and black churches. And I just told him, I said, you know, instead of going overseas for missions and stuff like that, do them in the inner cities. But you're going to have to build that relationship with some of those area pastors and leaders and things, because you guys have resources. Not just money, but you have a wealth of information that you can use in order to help some of those people. And you can do that. It's not about, I said, and it's a genuine question. What can I do? What can we do to help bridge the gap? There are brothers over there. They need help. They're hurting. How can we help? And that should be the way that every believer should be. I ain't going to help you because you're white. I ain't going to help you because you're black. I ain't going to help you because of your the way you look or what have you. It doesn't matter. If they're a believer, help them. Help them. Verse 3 says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Being a believer shouldn't be weighing you down to the point to where you are ready to give up. Why? Because you're an overcomer. You must be carrying something that you were never meant to carry. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary, and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus will give you rest. I told you, he's the answer for everything we need. So when you get back up, are you supposed to get up with that burden? Whether you were laying down, whether you were sitting down, whether you were kneeling down or what have you, wherever you just stopped and just, all right, Lord, I give it to you. That next step you take should be a light load on you. Hardly any burden at all, if any. He says, come unto me. You don't have to bear it. And when you bear it, it weighs you down. It gets you to the point to where your heart is heavy. I mean, your soul is not even being refreshed. You're thinking on things that you never should be thinking on. He says, lay it down at his feet. Lay it down. Lay that burden down at his feet or down by the riverside. If y'all know that song. I'm going to lay down my burden. Down by the riverside. Down by. See, I come from a black church, so we get all that. Where's he going with this? I'm going on my own riff over here. So we lay it down. We lay that burden down at his feet. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So my goodness, I keep hitting this and it keeps going. I'm doing Brandon up here. So when we are doing what the Word of God says for our lives, no matter how difficult it may be, what the Word says will be better for us in the end for every situation that we may face. Verse 4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. For every child of God. How do you know you're a child of God? Because you believe in the Son of God. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith in Jesus. It's not our faith in other people. It's not our faith in our own abilities and talents, our giftings. It's faith in Jesus. What the world may see as failure, it really isn't failure in the kingdom of God if you're living out God's plan for your life. See, you got to understand, when Jesus was here, he was preaching, sharing the good news of the gospel, and he ended up, there was a lot of followers that were with him. There were some that kind of fell away after a teaching, but there were a lot of followers. But when he was on that cross, when he was dying for all of humanity, there were only a handful of people there with him. Now, the world will tell you you're successful if you have a lot of followers. But during that time, he didn't. But he was successful. He was victorious. Because he had to die for all of mankind. People don't talk about the small handful of people that were with him. And the reason why some people fell away is because of the lies and things that were told about them, that were stirred up around them. People began falling away. They believed what was told about Jesus. So what may look like as a failure to some people, it was actually a victorious thing. And people may look at you in your life right now and be like, oh, you're a failure. But God is looking, watch this. I'm going to turn this bad boy around. Because, you know, the Lord searches to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone who is operating in faith. Someone who you find faithful. Someone who's trusting in him, depending in him, believing in him. Our requirement is to walk by faith, to live in faith, to have faith in God. Every child of God defeats this evil world through faith in Jesus. And verse 5, it says, and who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So even when the world and all these leaders may be looking like they're winning, they're not really winning. That's fake. All these so-called leaders that don't know Jesus, they think they're winning. Because of their title, because of their position, they ain't winning. We're the ones that's winning. So instead of walking around defeated all the time, if you place your trust in Jesus by faith, you are an overcomer. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. Nothing can stop you from being an overcomer of this world unless you stop placing your trust in Jesus. You can talk your way out of victory by simply speaking defeat. Speaking your problems, seeking death rather than life. Some people just want to be successful, and that's cool and all, but you ain't going to be successful without Jesus. So it doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what they do to you. It doesn't matter who they are and what their positional title is. They can't stop you from being successful because your faith, your success, your trust, and your belief starts with Jesus. They can spend all their time, all their money, all their energy trying to get you out of the will of God, but they can't. The only thing that can get you out of the will of God is you. You're a lot more powerful than you think. And it's not an arrogance or a prideful thing. It's just confidence in who Jesus is and what he's done for you. They'll say, you think you're better than everybody else. You realize they're looking at it from a jealous point of view. They're envious of you. And some people can't control through envy. They'll try to control. I don't know if anybody ever read the Willie Lynch letters. It's called Making of a Slave. But you can get it on iBooks. Just get the samples, the first chapter. But it's crazy what some people will do. Because they'll use fear, distrust, and envy in order to control you. And people will use envy in order to control you. But they can't. Because you're an overcomer. You're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you have defeated this evil world. They can't do it. So you don't have to get yourself out of love. Amen, amen, amen. So you need people in your life that can help you in your walk and share the good news of Jesus. Timothy had that early in his life. And believe it or not, I'm almost done with my message. Timothy had that early in his life. Timothy, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois prepared Timothy from an early age through the Old Testament scriptures to recognize the Messiah. And when Paul came along and shared the gospel with them, Timothy believed that Jesus died on the cross, and that basically changed his life. 2 Timothy 3:14 says this, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And then in 2 Timothy 1, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Timothy's mother and grandmother shared the scriptures with Timothy that helped to build that faith and trust in God over the years. And some people may have belittled women in the churches or what have you. I said, but there is a great significant spot or place that you guys play, that the women play within the church. They have their role in life and in their own children's life. sharing their faith with their children. That's so important. When dad is at work, their mother's at home sharing their faith. They're doing those things. They're building those children up. They're teaching them manners and things of that nature. You're doing those things. And again, if you're feeling like a failure, you're not. You're not. Well, I didn't do all those things. Here's the thing. You don't ever stop being a mom. And you won't ever stop being a grandmother. So you can still share those things with them. Their role in the household of faith doesn't go unnoticed. Timothy developed his faith and character through the scriptures and through his mother and grandmother, which helps him throughout his entire life. Timothy's upbringing was so good, so genuine, that it blessed Paul so much that he could not wait to see him again. Now, we can't all be perfect like Timothy. Well, I can. That's fine. No, it's through Jesus, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Timothy operated in a genuine faith. So to all the mothers and grandmothers, continue to help raise your children and grandchildren up to where people are blessed by them. Keep sowing into them because of your strong faith in Christ and the foundation that you have, and help them to develop genuine faith in Jesus. It's not going unnoticed. People recognize that. You want your children to be a blessing to other people, not a nuisance. You want them to be a blessing. So children, that's why they stay on you. That's why they get in your face. That's why they may grab your ear from time to time. That's why they may put a paddle on you if you're not. They're doing it so that you can be respectful to all those that are out there, all those other elders. I think that's what's missing in this generation. Well, we don't spank anymore. Say what? Do it. Because it's going to help them. Shows that you love them. Don't beat them to death. So thank you, mothers, for your determination, for your prayers, for your giftings that you poured in and out of your children over the times, and all the grandmothers as well. You're still doing it. You don't think your place is significant, but it is. So you don't ever have to question, what do I do now? God's got something for you. You still continue to pour in to your children, to your grandchildren, to the ones that you may have taken in. They ain't even your kids, and yet they're over there at your house. Continue to pour into them. To the graduates here. How many graduates we have? We got a few. A few things I want to leave with you. The first is pursue Jesus. Probably the most important thing, not probably, is the most important thing in your life, your relationship with Jesus. Doesn't matter where you go, what school you go to, or what have you. You go to a new state, move, whatever the case may be. Jesus is always going to be first and foremost, and should be the first and foremost thing in your life. Pursue Jesus. Without him, life is meaningless, pretty much. You can grow deeper with God, and he will help you to get an understanding of who you are in Christ, okay? Because your identity is found in Jesus. And keep learning about him. You're never going to stop learning. Keep learning about him. Every day the more you spend time with him, the more he will reveal himself to you, and the deeper and stronger your relationship comes with him. You just finished high school. You just finished college. You get your master's. But are you ever going to stop learning? You're not going to stop learning. You're not going to stop growing. And that's the same way with your relationship with Jesus. The more you learn about them, the deeper and more of a connection you will have for them, the more secure you will feel with him. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So even though you may have graduated from high school or college, you have degrees and masters in your field, you will never stop learning. You will never stop growing. And continue to be relentless and ask questions if you don't know. Second thing, Paul also told Timothy to remember all those who have helped you along the journey. Those teachers, your parents, your grandparents, administrators, pastors, leaders, everyone who helped you, take the time to thank them. I had that opportunity when I went back to California. There's a few people that I've seen, and some of the people that helped my parents along the way, helped me when I was in high school. I didn't get to see everyone because it was just kind of like a drive-by thank you, but I gave them their flowers, so to speak, and I thanked them for everything they've done in my life and just the information that they gave and the love and support that they always gave my family and stuff. I mean, there was a coach. I remember a coach. I always talk about Coach Garner when he was here, but there was also another coach that I was at in JUCO. His name was Remy McCarthy. I'm telling you, he was an in-your-face type coach, but I loved it because he didn't sugarcoat nothing, and he would get in your face. Now, he never cussed me out, but he'd be like, you need to go kick that blankety-blank, and I knew exactly what he meant. But there were times when I was doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing, and he just kind of pulled me aside and asked if everything was going on. Is everything going on, going all right at home and stuff like that? I said, yeah. And, you know, and he was like, you know, there's a reason why you're doing this and all that stuff. I said, no, I was just bored. He goes, well, quit being bored. I mean, if you need something, come in and talk, whatever. I mean, but the thing about it is I respected him because he came to me and talked to me. He didn't try to exploit. He didn't try to throw my name under the bus. He came to me and talked to me, man to man, coach to player. And I love that. And I can share that all the time because that's just the type of guy he is. My mom. My mom would always get on us. But you know what? She worked hard. And whenever we needed her, she was there. Whether it's through prayer, whether if it's through shouting, whether if it's through songs she would be singing throughout the house. We start acting up in the house and she just start busting out in song. To the point to where we stopped and have to go outside and play or whatever the case. I mean, continue the fight out there or whatever. But she was relentless in her prayers for us and for our kids, and she's never stopped. She's gone through a whole lot, but she's never stopped. So I'm thankful for the mothers, for the grandmothers, for those teachers, for the administrators, for those pastors, for those leaders that have spoken in our lives. So take the time, when you have the time, thank them. Give them their props, give them their dues, give them a hug. You realize a simple thank you will go a long way. So graduates, if you would come on up, I got some, my wife and my daughter put together some bags for you. How many do you have, 3, 4? You got one for your daughter too, don't you? Come on up, T. That's all right. We are very thankful for you. God bless you. This is for you. Continue to pursue and follow Jesus. Gosh, I've known you two since babies. Amen. Let's give these graduates a hand. God bless you. I don't know. Candy, gifts, whatever. What'd you say? A book and a book. Some good things. Well, let's stand up. Well, Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. We thank you for these mothers here. We thank you for the ones that, you know, if they've lost loved ones in their life, the Lord, we thank you that they have the ability and the love that you've given them to continue to love on other children. Lord, we thank you for the impact that they've made in this community and in the lives of other people around them, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.